Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the beaches, FM 94.7.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And happy Wednesday to you, Brevard County. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And tonight at 7 p.m., we are gathering for our midweek service. We have a young adult class. We have a children's class. And we have our adult Bible study. And we're going through the book, Exiting Egypt. And we're really not too deep into that. Hope you come out and join us as we go through the book of Exodus and study about God, Moses, Pharaoh, the Israelites, Aaron. We talk about Aaron in there some. And there's a lot of real life application. And we'd like to invite you to come out and join us tomorrow night at 7. We recently launched our youth ministry that meets on Thursday nights and 6 to 7:30. We did that on a night different because we have limited facilities is why we put that on a Thursday night. And that is My Island Youth. And that is 6 to 7:30 for 12-year-olds to seniors in high school. So today I'm going to take you back to Psalm 78. Yesterday we were discussing the children of Israel and how they reacted to God's miracles in the wilderness. We were basically from verse 32 through 35. I'm going to read today from verse number 36 down to verse number 39. And it says this, "Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again." The reason we find ourselves here in Psalm 78 is we are discussing the fact that followers of Jesus are to be people of love. And that's because God is a compassionate God. He's a God of love. And that compassion shows up in some very unusual places. So we've talked about that his compassion is linked with his covenant. And if we do not respond to his compassion, we talked about, I believe it was on Friday's program, that it might have been Monday's program. I guess it was Monday's program. That if we don't respond to God's compassion, he will let us see what life without compassion looks like. It's not a pretty picture. And so that's what brings us to this passage. Psalm 78, verse number 36 says this, "Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant." So even after God had been merciful to them, they had responded to consequences, and so they sought the Lord, they sought him earnestly, and then they remembered who God was. They remembered that he was their rock, and they remembered that He was the Most High God, their Redeemer. And remembering that is great, but remembering should prompt action in our lives. And if he's the Most High God, he should be of most high importance in our life. And, you know, the other thing that you see with this is he knows everything that's going on. The Bible says that he knows what we think and he knows the intentions of our heart. So he knows everything. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And this is what it says. They flattered him, capital H, with their mouth and lied to him with their tongue. In other words, there were words that came out of their mouth and they sounded good, but flattery, listen, there is a distinct difference between giving someone honor with the words that come out of your mouth. There's a distinct difference between that and manipulating through flattery. In other words, you're saying something that sounds good, but it's not really something that you believe. And the world will actually train people on how to manipulate other people through flattery. Flattery is not flattering to a believer. It's not becoming of a believer. We are supposed to speak the truth in love. Now, I do think that we should be complimenting one another. And so one of the things that I do to people around me is I'll say, congratulations. I don't do it all the time. What'd I do? I said, well, I'm sure you've done something worthy of congratulations, and I didn't want you to think that it went unappreciated. I may not know what it is, but I can tell you this, world is filled with people who will point out when you come up short. We don't necessarily do a great job of celebrating the little victories that come from day-to-day life. And so I like to celebrate the things that God has done. So flattery is deceptive. It is manipulative. And the people were trying to do that to God, and God can see through that. If you read in the Gospels where Jesus is encountering the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the lawyers, whenever they tried to set a trap for Jesus, he saw through their duplicity. He saw through the words that they were saying, and he knew what was going on in their heart. So don't flatter people. I've had people that, you know, when I confronted them about things that they were saying to me and it not being true, they said, we just told you what you wanted to hear, not what was true. And a lot of people try and do that with God. God is a God of integrity. And it says here that not only did they flatter him, but they lied to him. Now, here's the thing. Lying to God will get you nowhere. Lying to God does not convince him that you're telling the truth. He already knows the truth. Lying to him is often lying to ourselves. I'm a lousy liar. Lousy liar. Lying has never gotten me any place good. The one person that continues to believe the things that I say that have repeatedly proven to be untrue is me. The person that I lie to the most is myself. And here's how I came to that realization. By the way, if you think that a pastor just works 1 hour a week, I don't know that pastor. Here a couple of weeks ago, it was long hours. I had one day off, and that was a pretty busy day because of how long the rest of the days were, either 10, 11, 12, or 13 hours, for the 6 days that outside of that, that one day off. And I tell you that because it's relevant to the story. I was, had told my son, this probably goes back 15 or 20 years ago. I said, after I finish this project, I'm going to slow down. And I remember this because I think it was the first time that I remember him ever talking to me like this. I mean, we had had some generational conversations, shall we say, before, but this was the first time. It wasn't disrespectful. It was just observational. And he said, Dad, you're lying to yourself. You haven't ever slowed down, and you probably never will. And I was like, you know, you're probably right. And so this year, I've talked about that I'm going to be teaching on some of the traps that people have in their lives. Lying to yourself can be a trap. By the way, let me take just a moment to say this. This coming Sunday, we have a guest speaker with us. His name is Mark Perkey. He's going to be with us on Sunday morning, 10:30. It's our I Love Mission Sunday, and it's where we step out in faith. We're one of the smallest congregations in Brevard County, Merritt Assembly of God, stretches our faith and say, God, this is what we would like to accomplish by the help of the Holy Spirit to take the gospel to the ends of the earth in 2026. I'd like to invite you out to be a part of that. That'll be this coming Sunday with Mark Perkey. So forgot to mention that earlier. Thought I'd throw it in there. So they lied to him with their tongue. Lying to God is lying to yourself. You're not convincing to God. Lying only works if the person that you're talking to believes what you're telling them. And since God already knows the truth, there's no sense in lying to him. It says how they did that, the words that came out of their mouth emanated from their heart, which was not steadfast with him. So Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you have a heart that is not anchored with God, if it's not built upon that foundation and that covenant, the natural flow from our mouths is going to be things that are not true, and it's going to result in words that do not speak the language of heaven, which is the language of truth. It's a heart issue. So very early in my ministry, I encountered a person, and they were a very, very good liar. Saw them do something with my own eyes, and they said, I didn't do that. And it's like, dude, I saw you. It's not like I thought I saw you. There weren't that many people to confuse at that point in time. I literally saw you, and they were very, very good at not telling the truth. There are some people who are better liars than they are truth tellers, and that's dangerous for them. It shows that there is a spiritual condition in their heart. And so when I was in sales, my approach was, I'm going to be truthful with my customers. I had a customer that had been a salesman and had sold me a product that was not his communication style was not telling the truth. His communication style was telling you things to get you to buy the product. And that product ended up being of very little benefit, and it's no longer a valid business. Technology changed and all of that sort of stuff. I tell you that story not because he convinced me to buy something, even though I said, look, the math isn't mathing, but it's not a tremendous amount of money, and you know, we might get some benefit out of this. But that guy ended up being a customer of mine looking for shoes. And I told him the truth. And because his heart was not right, and he knew the way as a salesman he dealt with his customers, he thought I was dealing with him the same way. And finally I said, sir, I'm telling you the truth about this pair of shoes. If you do not believe what I'm telling you, then don't buy the shoe. It doesn't matter to me that much. And I believe that we need to have a heart that is concerned for the truth more than what we're able to get by with. I had a person one time that told me that they were going to be okay signing off on something if I told them something that wasn't true. And I let that person know that my integrity was more valuable to me than that. That I was not going to lie to them. And I pray that you and I have a relationship with Jesus to such an extent that our heart is secure in him. And it will cause us to not only be communicators of truth, but also people who will be faithful in his covenant. I emphasize the his covenant. A lot of times we think of covenant from our perspective, but it's covenant was not invented by God or invented by man. It was invented by God. A covenant life with him is initiated by him, invited by him, paid for by him, fulfilled by him, and all it requires is for us to be faithful. So you ask yourself, what do you want to hear when you've breathed your last breath or the trumpet sounds and we are caught up to be with him and with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord? Well, the thing that we want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What is the faithfulness? The faithfulness is, I am going to be faithful to my covenant with God. And you can look into the New Testament, because New Testament could actually be better referenced as the new covenant. That Jesus fulfilled the old covenant so that we could, by the Spirit of God, fulfill faithfully the covenant that he established through his death, burial, and resurrection. That sets us up for verse number 38. Verse 38 says, but he, capital H, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Okay? So I want you to see that for God, being full of compassion is a state of being for him. He's never half full of compassion. His compassion is in demonstration for those who are faithful to his covenant. And as you can see in this passage, verse number 38, he's full of compassion in his dealings with those who are in sin, those who lie to him, those who are unfaithful. And it says that being full of compassion, he made provision and forgave their iniquity. And don't ever take forgiveness for granted. Jesus said that those who've been forgiven much love much. Those who've been forgiven little love little. The truth of the matter is that if a person violates one area of the law, they're guilty of the whole thing, and the wages of sin that all have committed is death. So there is no such thing as little sins. We've all been forgiven to such an extent that we have been offered the gift of eternal life instead of the wages of sin being death. So that iniquity, that treating God in an unjust manner because of who he is, full of compassion, that compassion manifests itself in forgiveness. Our theme for this year, our vision statement is be a blessing, but our theme for this year is let's get moving. And we need to move past temptation and move into faithfulness and obedience. But we also need to move as individuals past unforgiveness towards those who've done something to us. Unforgiveness puts up a wall that we need to address, and we need to make sure that thing gets pulled down one stone at a time. God, because of his being full of compassion, did not destroy them. Going to make a statement right now. It's true for every person in Brevard County, whether you live here, whether you're visiting here, whether you're just driving down the road and happen to be listening to the radio. There is one reason that you and I are alive at this point in time, and that is because God is full of compassion. And he has chosen that we are to be alive for such a time as this. Being alive is not a punishment. It is an opportunity. It is a gift from a compassionate God. So let's not look at the inconveniences of the day or the challenges or the... Let's look at it and say, God, I am so thankful that you love me. Thank you that you are a compassionate God. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We need to make sure that we are properly inclined, heart-wise, to embrace what God's compassion has made available to us. That doesn't mean that everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice is right with God. Instead, God in his compassion has said, look, I'm giving you another day. I'm giving you another opportunity. I'm giving you more time. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is going to work on your heart and going to remind you of who I am. And I encourage you, don't take that opportunity for granted. It goes on here, verse 38. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. It says that God's compassion manifests because he remembers that the nature of fallen man is they're just flesh. Not the way God wanted us created. We were created body, soul, and spirit. But for those who are dead in their trespasses and sin, they're dead spiritually and their mind doesn't work right. The Bible says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, putting on the mind of Christ, that it causes our brain to function the way that God wanted us to function. And so we need to embrace Jesus, but he knows our fallen nature. He knows what you're susceptible to. Here's the good news about temptation is with temptation, whenever the enemy tempts us, God makes a way of escape. The way of escape is Jesus. Jesus coming in, forgiving us of our sins, changing our heart so that we no longer desire to do the things that the enemy longed for us to be entrapped by. I was preaching here a couple of weeks ago about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. And if you remember, Satan showed him all the nations of the world. He said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I will give you all these nations. And in my spirit, I know this. Jesus knew that that was not Satan's to give. But when he saw the nations of the world, he wasn't tempted to worship Satan. He said, this is my view on this, okay? He saw the nations of the world. He said, those are the people I came to die to save. Those are the ones that I came for. Not to be tempted to worship you, but to redeem them and reconcile to the Father. And so I do want to close out by saying this. If you've not said yes to Jesus, please understand the fragility of life, that one moment you're here and the next moment you could be in eternity. You're either in eternity with him or eternity without him. Please embrace the compassion of God and say yes to his compassionate offer to forgive us of our sins and be the Lord of our life. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Thank you.